Our next guest on Downtown starred in arguably the greatest moment, a movie of all time, The Godfather, along with more than 40 other films. He's an author, a businessman, a singer, and an entertainer, and he brings his great stories to Portland next month for what's being called an evening you can't refuse. We are happy to be joined this afternoon by Johnny Russo. Johnny, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Richard. I love Portland. You know, this is my third time back. I can't believe it.
Well, yeah. How did this all come to pass? Did it start with your friendship with Rob Baldacci?
Well, Rob Baldacci has got me more work up there. He should be my agent. And I love the area because, you know, to me, I don't like flying anymore. It's too confusing. So I take a train to Boston, a bus to you guys. And I hang out. We have so much fun. It's been great. And as you pointed out, I'll be Saturday the 24th at the Portland Elks Lodge. And I think there's a few tickets left. But it is an evening you shouldn't refuse.
Well, and what will people get to hear? Some stories, but also you'll sing, you do a little music. And, well, I mean, you ought to be able to sing. From what I understand, the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra, taught you how to sing.
Well, I'm the only person in the world that could say Sinatra was my only singing teacher. Marlon Brando was my only acting teacher. And I lost my virginity to Marilyn Monroe when I was 16. And it's all in the show. Film clips and all. I mean, not the actually me losing my virginity, but that's what the show's about.
Yeah, and it's been a remarkable life. You chronicled a lot of it in your book. And it starts with... Well, a pretty rough upbringing. You had a tough time as a youngster growing up in New York. You had polio. Was it 5 years in the hospital?
I was 5 years. You know, as we reflect on it now, then it was like doomsday to me. I was quarantined 5 years in 1949, and it was part of Jonas Salk's experiment for the Salk vaccine. And here we are talking about it today. And now I'm 81 years of age, and I feel younger now than I have ever done. So God bless. It's all been a great experience.
And you were selling ballpoint pens on the street to try and scrape together a few bucks, and you had a pretty good regular customer who turned out to be someone fairly important.
Well, not only was he important, his name was Frank Costello, and he was called the Ambassador, and he and Maya Lansky created the syndicate, and from that point on, I was friends with him, and basically, he was my mentor, him and his wife, Loretta, who never had children until 73 when he died, and I had the privilege of watching a private showing that he arranged because he wanted to see the movie The Godfather that I just made, and then he passed right after that.
And you point out in your book and in interviews as well that you ran with a whole lot of these guys and knew so many of the figures, but you were never a made man.
You know, it's funny because I've had conversations with the FBI. You name anybody. I never wanted to be. I thought when they talked to me and they thought I was kidding them, I said, I didn't even want to be a Boy Scout, not alone a made guy. And that was Costello's upbringing. And nobody knew my name, basically. I mean, a few people did, but nobody knew my name until The Godfather came out, because he always addressed me as the kid, introduced me as the kid, and everybody would say, that's Costello's kid. Nobody knew my name. Then when the movie came out, everybody was saying, wow, I can't believe this. But as you pointed out, it was my first movie, and here we are 52 years later talking about it yet.
Well, and you in many ways helped to get the movie made. I understand that you did a lot of work trying to convince Joe Colombo that the way to make this movie happen was to work with the producers and that it might make more money for them.
Well, you know, it was interesting at that time because he created a Italian Anti-Defamation League, and Joe, to support his son's arrest, all for the wrong reasons, but he hired a young genius at the time, Barry Schlotnick. In fact, Stu Schlotnick, his son, is my attorney yet. But and that's when I came up with the idea I said, why don't we have Barry talk to the Paramount people, and what you don't like in the script that you think is defaming, if they agree to change it, let them make the movie, and we can make a lot of money. And he emphasizes, we? I said, yeah, well, I'm bringing you the idea all night. I was 26 at the time, talking to a mob boss. And I said, if you did it, we'll ask for all the world premieres in every major city when it comes out. And it almost happened. But unfortunately, he got very aggressive. And on June 28th, in 1971, he was shot down on Columbus Circle with one of his rallies and was put into a coma for the last 5 years of his life. So Paramount and everybody ran away from that right away.
We're talking with talking with Johnny Russo here on Downtown. Well, you ended up with no acting experience, being cast as Carlo, Don Corleone's son-in-law, and you tell a wonderful story in the book, and you've told it before, but could you share the story of what happened when you learned that Marlon Brando really wasn't crazy about you playing this role because of your lack of experience?
Well, you know, I as you pointed out, I never acted. I felt very comfortable because they called the first rehearsal, Apaches on 119th Street in Harlem, and I used to go up there all the time, and when I got there, when I walked in, everybody, Danny Pagano, Tony Federici, all the major guys were there. And I said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here for the rehearsal for The Godfather. They said, what are you going to do? I said, I had a big part in it. Get out of here. You're not an actor. And like most people, every time I told them I was in the movie, they couldn't believe it. So now we go into this room, and everybody's in the room, the whole cast, other than Brando and Francis Ford Coppola. Makes the introduction to everybody, saying we're going to read the script. And the Italians, I want them to exaggerate their mannerisms, because the non-Italians, like Brando being Polish, Jimmy Kahn being Jewish, have to become Italian in the next 5 days. We're going to bring Brando in. Nobody should have contact with him. Don't look at him. Don't approach him. I said, I don't care. I'll sit right here. I was happy to be there. And then Brando approached me at the end of the rehearsal, and he says, you're a big TV actor. I said, no, I'm not. He said, you got a movie coming out. I said, no. He said, well, you're not on Broadway. I said, you're right. I said, what's this, the quiz show? He said, well, who'd you study with? I said, what are you talking about? Study what? And with this, he called Coppola over. And Coppola had nothing to do with me getting the part. I got the part because of Joe Colombo. And he didn't want me in the part either. So he said, Francis, you got to think about this. This kid is a major threat through the whole movie. He marries my daughter, he beats her up, he gets Sonny killed. He's got to be a great actor. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, this guy's trying to get me fired. So I don't know protocol. I never acted before. I told Coppola, I should go over there a minute. I dismissed the director, and he went. The whole room, you could hear a pin drop. I mean, but you know, everybody was there. And I put my arm around Brando and I walk him to the back of the room. I said, let me tell you something. All due respect, I know who you are. You get me fired today. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm nose to nose with the guy. I said, you get me fired, I will suck on your heart. You will bleed out here right now. He looked at me, stepped back. He said, that was brilliant. You could do this part. He thought I was acting. I meant it.
And then he ended up helping you out and giving you feedback and acting tips along the way.
Well, the funniest thing was Dick Smith, his makeup man. It took 3 hours a day to create Marlon Brando at 48 years of age into Don Corleone. So he had the ADs bring me in. And we would talk, and he'd go through different scenes with me. And basically, you know, the only reason I was recognized was the last scene of the movie with Pacino. And I never did anything like that before. You know, that people don't realize, lay people, they do the master, then they do a two-shot, then they do over-the-shoulder close-ups. You got to keep emoting and crying and doing. He said, how are you going to do that? And he did it all for me. So, I mean, my whole career was based on Marlon Brando's teachings.
How tough was it for you to because you had to get fairly physical with Talia Shire, knowing, hey, that's the director's sister.
Oh, that was a tough thing. Not only that, Frances' mother and father, who's also her mother and father, walked behind the camera, and he's saying to me, this ain't working. You got to beat her up. I said, what are you talking about? How am I going to beat up your sister in front of your mother and everybody? So we had the stunt guys come in. We paired her up, put a cardigan sweater on her. And if you watch the scene, basically I'm just whipping her with my belt. And it wasn't until we got into the bathroom and you heard the screams and all that. But, you know, even during that time, there was no way Senses was going to let you beat up a pregnant woman in the film. And that's how we got through with it. But it was a terrible experience for me because my mother was brutalized by my father as a kid. I remember that for the short time I lived home.
And in your book, you mentioned that Jimmy Kahn really didn't pull any punches with you in that scene, that you actually got punched and got kicked.
Well, again, never being in a movie before, I figured, wow, this is what they must do this. But I made a decision that day. I'm never doing a fight scene. I only want to do love scenes. My elbow broke two ribs, this guy.
Man, oh, man. What is it about that movie, Johnny, all these years later? If anything, it's more popular than ever. It constantly shows up at the top of lists of the best movies of all time. What's the key to it?
You know, I just think it's when you take out the violence, there's a true story, a thread of what respect is and honor, which we're missing in our society right now. I mean, I wish the mob was running the cities like they used to, but I don't know where we are now. But that movie has that, and we've crossed four generations, and there's a lesson to be learned just to sit down and digest the dialogue. And as I said, put the violence aside. There is definitely a message there.
Well, let's go back in time a little bit. We mentioned you meeting Frank Costello. He served as a mentor to you. And I think I've got the timeline right here that he helped get you into school, learning to be a hairdresser. And through all of that, you ended up being Marilyn Monroe's shampoo boy. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Well, what happened? I was doing errands for him, and I got caught outside of Dempsey's, which was one of my daily routes. And this guy came up to me, but he was in a brown uniform. I thought he was a dog catcher, but he was a troon officer. He's, why aren't you in school? And I was laughing at him. I had like $5,000 in my pocket. Why weren't I in school? He's, how old are you? I said, I'm 15. He's, well, you got to go to school. And he gave me a ticket. And I was on the way to Toot Shores, which was one of my major routes. And everybody was there by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, including Costello. And he saw the ticket. He's, what's this, a ticket? What, were you walking too fast? And everybody laughed. He's been technically, but I didn't get it. And then he read it, and he said, this truant officer's ticket. I said, yeah. He said, how old are you? I said, 15. He said, well, you got to go to school. I said, I don't want to go to school. He said, let me handle it. So he put me in Wolford Academy, and he made an arrangement. I just sign in and get out of there, and in 6 months I'd be 16 and don't go back. But I got there early in the morning, and there's 30 or 40 little girls. So he used to say to me every day, why'd you stay there for 2 hours? I used to meet him at 11. I said, Frank, where are you going to go in New York to find 20 or 30 little girls? I stay and I talk to them. And then I became a shampoo boy, and the fourth head of hair was Marilyn Monroe. And that was the end of that for 5 years.
Okay, I'm going to say she must have been impressed with your shampoo work.
Well, I don't know if it was that, but during that time, I was sleeping in the New York Paramount because I had nowhere to go after he went to work and went home. And I watched Some Like It Hot maybe 10 times. And now I'm shampooing her hair. I couldn't believe it. And she's moaning, and she wanted a strong shampoo. And have your audience get a visual. My three-piece set was on her shoulder, and I got an erection, and that was it. Then she started requesting me.
And then the rest is history, and young innocent Johnny loses his virginity to the most famous actress in the world.
I mean, it was amazing. Well, I blame that on Costello, too, because he went fishing with Tony Accardo. They used to go deep-sea fishing, a boss out of Chicago. And he said, we have a guest at the Waldorf this weekend. I want you to look in on her, but go up at 12. I knock on the door. She opens the door. And she's, Johnny, what are you doing here? I said, well, Mr. C told me to look after you. And she invited me in. I never saw room service with all these carts and all that and food. So I just ordered breakfast, come in. And I came in, and she went breakfast. I said, no. So have a glass of champagne. I said, I can't drink. I'm only 15. She says, you can have anything you want in this room. And I'm saying to myself, I'm going to get killed here this weekend. Who cares? I went, that was a Saturday, and I left on a Monday morning. You figure it out.
My goodness, that is a that's a weekend to remember right there. You also had a long relationship with a great talent who's been on our show a number of times, Dionne Warwick.
Oh, really? No, I managed Dionne. I can't say why I was her beard, because that's not fair to her. But I managed her for 15 years.
Well,
I didn't know Dionne was on your show. She's a great talent.
Oh, she's wonderful. Now, you also, along the way, you mentioned your work as a businessman. You owned a club and ended up, as a result of an altercation there, having to kill a guy because he, first of all, was, harassing a woman and then came at you with a broken bottle?
Well, what happened was, it took about State Street, and that was a major supper club. And Steve Sharippa of Blue Bloods and The Sopranos was my doorman.
Wow.
He was going to school at UNLV, Nevada, University of Nevada, for hotel school. And we had this guy come in, and I called the front door. I said, Steve, who's that guy on 7? Because he's giving everybody $100 bills and all that. But we had that a lot when guys made a big score. And then the next thing I know, he breaks a Cristal bottle and sticks it in his girlfriend's face. So I said, Steve, get to 7. He said, I ain't going over there. That guy's nuts. So I go over there, and the guy, I didn't know he still had the bottle. He went to turn for the girl, I thought. He spins around to try to cut my throat, and he gets me. Fortunately, I was agile enough to go back, and he cut me along my chin line. And I said, how am I going to get this guy to defuse him? I started screaming at him, saying, look what you did to my shirt. I waited 6 months for this shirt. It's Sea Island cotton. He's looking at me saying, wait a minute. This guy's bleeding. He's worried about his shirt. I just wanted to get my hand on my gun without him noticing it. And I did, and I put it to his forehead. And I told him, you got a chance to leave. He said, F you. I said, no. I put two between his eyes, only to find out he was Lorenzo Morales, who worked for the Dion cartel, Pablo Escobar. That started another whole thing. But I'm here talking about it.
Well, yeah, I would think. Do you still light those candles to St. Anthony every day?
Every day. I got them in my. I made a novena long ago, first with St. Anthony to get me out of the polio ward. My grandmother made him my patron saint, and he still is. No, I'm so blessed. It's amazing, man. At 81 and doing what I'm doing, it's a miracle.
Well, it has been a remarkable life, and it's going to be a great time. Again, February 24th, the Portland Elks Lodge. There are some tickets left, but they're going to go fast, so make sure you get your opportunity to see An Evening You Can't Refuse, some stories, some songs, some film clips, and one unforgettable night with Gianni Russo. It is great to talk with you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Richard, thank you. And all the people in Portland, I love you. God bless.
Gianni Russo with us here on Downtown.